Podcast, episode 19, the podcast on Monday, December 10th.
My half birthday and my arrival birthday.
I came to America. She's an alien from outer space, and she arrived on this planet.
What planet are you from?
She arrived on this planet on Monday, December 10th, 2012. At 8:22 p.m. This podcast, you can expect us to talk about, as always, what we played, news, and we'll probably do Complaint Corner. We're also actually going to do This Week in News, because there's some cool stuff from back in the day to talk about. And the list this week is our top 5 Nintendo Land attraction games, or I'm sorry, our top 10 5 best Nintendo Land attraction games. So you can look forward to that. If you haven't played Nintendo Land, we'll tell you what to expect and look forward to. If you have, you can compare your opinions to our opinions. All right, before we talk about what we played, I'd like to make an announcement. Just so you know, so everybody knows, we have purchased our plane tickets and hotel for Los Angeles, so Nintendo Everything will most likely be again, unless one of us either tragically dies or E3 tragically gets canceled. It's funny. Nintendo Everything will be back at E3, which is good.
And we're going to Disneyland on my birthday.
We're going to Disneyland. Her birthday is on June 10th.
Well, yeah, because we talked about
it. At 8:22 p.m.
Disneyland.
Disneyland's fun. If you've been to Disneyland, send us a letter.
Send us a letter.
Hey, I've been to Disneyland. Just so you know. All right. What did everybody play this week? Who wants to go first?
I played a bit more of. I was waiting for everyone else to go.
Just to see if anyone else.
I thought you were kind of lost in thought.
But it went away.
That was a really good face.
If you want to make a sneeze definitely come out while you're about to sneeze, look at a bright light. Or if you don't want it to come out, go like this. So, like, if you're one of those people who loves the feeling of sneezing,
I love the feeling of sneezing.
Look at a bright light if you think it might go away, and then it's like got a weird angle thing and into your brain.
Okay.
And then you'll sneeze. Anyway, what'd you play? You.
I did not play a lot of video games this week.
Before you say, though, I'd like to say that I'm here, Laura's here, and Jack is here, just like always.
Yeah. I just played through a bit more of Paper Mario, Sticker Superman Star.
A little bit more? Or Superman 64 Star, you mean?
Yeah, sorry.
A little more, not like a lot of bit more?
Yeah. Not a lot of bit more. It was just...
Are you done yet?
Does it sound like he's done?
No, I mean with stickers. Superstars.
No.
Does it sound? No, I know. Does it sound like he's done with that game? No. I'm not.
Yeah, but I think it's like a 40-hour game actually now, so I'm only like maybe 20 in. So
man, come on, I need something to play.
You can play Paper Mario 64. Except it has bad graphics. I guess we talked about this that one.
It's packed up in storage right now.
Packed up in the storage.
Oh, but your bag of stuff is not.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Because that's my copy of Shaq Fu is.
He's been waiting to play that game. We didn't play it, unfortunately.
So I just got through the first 3 areas of the snow level, including the Enig Mansion, which was nice.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. Well, that's just like a classic intelligent systems type thing. I don't know. But and I also played this kind of obscure game released by Asmic Ace in 1998 for the PS1.
Released by who?
Asmic Ace.
Asmic Ace. Okay.
Called LSD.
What did you think of LSD?
It was very interesting.
Okay. And what's the genre?
Sandbox, I guess.
You can do anything you want.
You just walk. That's it. You just walk. And
so is it like Grand Theft Auto?
It's exactly like Grand Theft Auto.
Except set in the dreams?
Yeah. It's a really cool game, though. Check it out. Yes.
But you can't, really, because isn't it like...
Do you have any, like, highlights or anything? Like,
just seeing the giant baby man.
Giant baby man. You can tell it's like Grand Theft Auto because there's a giant baby man.
Like, I was just walking through a corridor, and I'd heard that it was kind of a scary game, but I hadn't really had that happen to me yet. I was walking through a corridor, and all of a sudden I turned
around. Is it like... I have this image of it in my head, where, like, you're walking through, and every wall is like a strobe light of color.
I haven't necessarily gotten to that area, but yeah, certainly.
Because I think the only footage I've seen, and I might even be thinking of footage of that one game with the green heads that we talked about, but it was like, I don't know, it's weird. So not the one with the green heads, it might have been with the green heads, anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of like spacious environments, a lot of like just weird things going on, different colors. You know, just like a
sounds actually like
psychedelic,
enjoyable.
You know? Yeah.
Sounds really enjoyable.
The controls are really archaic, though, so... But
okay, how? Well, I guess it's PS1 controller.
If you play it, you'll see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. And so did you play anything else?
Nope, didn't really play anything else this week.
Thing? No, I thought I saw you on the things playing Black Ops. I swear.
Yeah, for like I think maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, you weren't out for very long. Because I was going to tell you to play the single player, but then you left. Or no, I was going to ask if you wanted to play the multiplayer, and then you left.
Yeah.
Okay, Laura, did you play anything?
Not really.
Nothing?
Sims.
Okay. How is your family?
Good.
Okay. Like, is
it's
everyone doing good?
It's winter time.
It is winter time. It snowed yesterday.
I mean, in the game. Sims season.
What is your family's name?
In the Sims.
I don't remember.
That's bad. You're a terrible mother. Father, God. Yeah, you're a terrible God. Do they have kids? Is like your kid going through like an emo phase?
No, they haven't had a baby yet, but their puppies or their dogs just had puppies.
What are the puppies' names?
They haven't been born yet. Well, they haven't had puppies. They just got pregnant.
Okay.
The puppies.
I didn't know dogs could get pregnant in that game.
Yeah, you control the dogs and the horse.
Oh yeah, Sims 2 Pets. Sims 3 Pets. We played that.
Yep. At
E3.
You got the nice collar.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Collar?
Yeah, it was a Sims collar.
Oh. Okay. Did you give it to Glenn?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay. It wasn't as nice as the cooking mama.
The oven mitt. Yeah. I think I got rid of that, actually. No, maybe I saw it.
It's in the bag full of things that we didn't give away during the 24-hour marathon that you left at my apartment that now is in storage.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't need any of that stuff, so. Because I was going to give it away anyway, so.
And then I played Style Savvy a little bit more, but I'm really bored with it.
Yep. Because
I finished
it. Well, it's kind of like Animal Crossing. You kind of, like, do everything, and then it's like,
keep going, but then, like.
Well, that's everything to do.
And my DS is being stupid. If I unplug it, it does weird things, and I can't. I'm frustrated.
Send it back. Tell them you want your money back.
I want my purple one. It's purple, though.
Oh, yeah, make them send them you a new purple one.
But then I lose everything again.
No, you don't. Put in an SD card. Or lose all your street passes again.
Yeah.
Well, call him. Ask for Reggie. We talked about this last week.
Ask for a manager.
I'd like to speak to a manager,
please.
But yeah, otherwise, I haven't really played. I haven't even touched the Wii U in a week because I've just been.
What? I touch it every day.
Well, no, I watch Netflix on it. I just.
What a waste. You know what's nice? What? You can swap back and forth on the two screens, literally without any. Like, it doesn't even have to reload. It's just, instant. You can switch back and forth, and the sound changes exactly, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I just haven't felt like playing Epic Mickey or Nintendo Land.
That's true. You don't have any, like, really good, deep games. Yeah, but I've been playing, are you done?
Yes.
Yes, all right. Well, then I'll say, in relation, I've been playing Scribblenauts Unlimited on 3DS. Not a big fan of it, honestly.
Okay.
It doesn't seem, I mean, especially without,
really
like, the infinite
easy.
Item creator. Yeah, it's, like, really...
It's
almost like you struggle to come up with things to make it fun,
yeah.
But you just can't. It's like the homeless man needs somewhere to stay. It's like you struggle to think of something to make yourself laugh because the answers are so obvious.
Yeah,
it's like
you know,
and a lot of the times you can't. Like, give the monkey something he'll want to eat. What am I supposed to give him if not a banana? Like, well, will he eat, like, a steak? I don't know. Like, nothing is funny at all. And it's a struggle to come up with things that aren't just, like, the regular things.
The thing that
I think,
like,
it worked a lot better being able to select things from, like, next puzzle, like, from a list as opposed to walking around.
Yeah,
not a big fan of the open world.
I don't mind the open world. What I really just mind is how all the puzzles are not puzzles. It's just...
Yes.
There's, like, one that I did that was, like, a puzzle. Like, you have to get from here to here, and you have to figure out items to help you get there, you know? But otherwise, it's usually just, like, give this person this thing.
Yeah, and it's really obvious, like, oh, this guy needs a backup singer for his band.
Okay, well then...
Backup singer, enter, and then you win. It's just, like... It's a struggle. Like, there are some funny ones, like, oh, the cannibal needs something to eat, and then you, like, give him a baby, and, like, he eats the baby, and it's, like, somewhat humorous.
That's not humorous. That's awful.
It was kind of funny. But, like, for the most part, it's really, really simple.
Yeah.
Easy, not... And without the infinite item creator that the Wii version has, and it's cramped on the tiny screen, and it's just...
Well, yeah, maybe on the 3DS,
though. I'm not a big fan, honestly, so... Oh, well. I've also been playing... I played a little more Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, but I got stuck. And I'm playing on the easiest difficulty, and I just can't do it. It's, like, one of the challenges where you have to complete in a certain amount of time, and it's just too hard, so I keep giving up. But I'm playing as BD Joe, who's really cool. And it's like, it feels like it should be like a game that you sit in like a fake car with the wheel in like an arcade.
Yeah.
It feels like one of those, and it's very Sega-y with like the voices. Like the challenge mode, you know, like that voice that Sega games always have.
Yeah.
But it's like a fine kart racer. There's nothing great about it, but it's alright. I beat Zombie U. The ending is terrible, just like I thought it would be. But the rest of the game is amazing.
That last week.
Yeah, but I hadn't quite beaten it yet. And then I finally beat it, and it was a little better than I thought initially. But it was still like just kind of poorly executed. There was something else about it that was really nice, though. Well, I started a game in survival mode, which is really frightening. And I played a lot of Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Did you say you started through the campaign?
Started through the campaign again, and I'm enjoying it even more than I did the first time. And what I like is that there are branching paths and different endings and stuff. So, what's the coolest thing? Did you not know that?
No, I didn't at all.
Oh, yeah. The coolest thing about it is they won't necessarily tell you, like, you've made a choice. There are some obvious ones, like
kill the
or don't
leader.
Kill. Yeah. Right. It's like you can either shoot him in the head to kill him or shoot him in the kneecaps to not, but there are ones where it's like you're just playing alongside people and like comrades will die and then they just don't ever come back. And then it's like stuff you won't even necessarily notice, or the French ambassador is getting attacked in the city, like go save him, and I wasn't able to get to him. And then it's not like I failed the mission, it's just, well, keep going. And I think that's really cool. I think that's a good addition. So I'm curious to see if I changed anything. So far it's all remained mostly the same. But a little bit has changed. Or very little has changed, I mean. And I played, I actually haven't played very much Mario Bros. U, but the stuff I did play I still really enjoyed. I didn't play any Nintendo Land, I didn't play any Wii games, I didn't play any 3DS games except Squirrelnauts. I bought Mutant Muds on iPad because it was $1. Not as big a fan on it because like the controls aren't terrible, but
using the touch.
And they have like checkpoints now, so it's kind of like, you know,
that actually robs the game.
I don't really like it.
Yeah.
And the Wii version could have checkpoints too, which I'm not a big fan of. It looks nice, but it's not in 3D, so it also doesn't look nice. But what you gonna do? It's only $1, so yes, it's worth $1, but I would prefer to pay $7 and get a really good game, which is just not possible with these controls. But that's okay. Alright, what time is it for now?
News!
Okay, fill in the time, because I got to pull it up.
News!
That's the best way to fill in time, is just
sing a song.
Say everything really slowly. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to read this piece of news first, because it's not marked as a podcast story, because it's new. It just says Dragon Quest X brings the Christmas feel. <It's nice. laughs> Players can partake in a quest called When You Wish Upon a Star, the Great Festival on a Holy Night. That's a really nice name. It contains a large Christmas tree. There are monsters to fight that give you ornaments.
Cute!
That's pretty. It's really, really nice.
I had a really weird dream last night.
Tell us about it while I pull up the podcast stories.
It was like I was in a video game happening, and like, you had part of it, I was like attacking this giant, but you had to get on top of his head, and like I remember climbing the towers that were there and trying to get on top of his head to do the special thing to defeat the boss, because every boss had a specific way to kill them, like in Zelda, you know.
Okay.
Except they were all giants. And then it switched to this field battle. And, like, I could either be a good fairy or a bad fairy. And then I ended up in a room where I had to put together Pinocchio, the puppet.
It's really nice. Oh, it's probably because you're playing so much Epic Mickey.
I was trying to find, like, his legs and stuff throughout the room. Hmm. It was really weird.
That is really weird. Thanks for the story.
Well, When You Wish Upon a Star reminded me, because that's from
Pinocchio. Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. Geppetto. All right.
No.
Hey, do we have any Geppetto chips?
I have some upstairs, maybe, but I forgot to look for them, so.
Okay.
Guess how many Wii U's were sold in the UK upon its launch?
10,000.
100,000.
Nope. 40,000, which is about how much they had allocated for the UK entirely anyway. So it's essentially sold out. That being said, technically speaking, I think it sold worse than the Vita did, despite, like, selling out.
Yeah.
Because Vita sold, like, 48,000, and it didn't sell out because they had more, but Yeah, it's reports that it's selling about 40-ish thousand or so, and it's selling as well relatively here as it is there. So, okay, that's fine. A new update came out on the Wii. Oh, you gotta say the numbers.
That's fine.
A new update came out on the Wii U. It improves your speed. I got it. And it makes Miiverse load faster and the eShop load faster and stuff like that. So that's actually really good because that was a big issue with that stupid console. And that's
sad.
If there is one thing that, I think the next other generations will do better, it's load times. I hope. Now, the funny thing is, if they don't do it better, and then it's actually worse.
Actually worse, because
this last generation, Wii excluded, was really bad for load times. Like, really, really terrible.
But, of course, the reason why Wii is excluded from that was because of the graphical limitations.
Also, it's really tiny. Like, the biggest thing it ever had to load was what? Like 40 megs at a time or something. It only had 512 RAM, so it couldn't physically be more than that. So anyway, you can know that. 3DS got an update as well, and it's just one of those things that it improves system stability and kills hackers. So Nintendo talks about the thing that they the console they released last week, which was the
the console that they just released last week.
Last week,
yeah.
What was that? What console?
The Steam Box.
No.
Did you hear about the Steam
Box? I did.
Yeah.
Well, come on, you guys. It's red.
Yeah, the Wii U Mini. The Mini.
So this guy named Matt Ryan.
She called it the Weenie.
That's
a good name, actually.
Nintendo Canada's Matt Ryan talked about the Wii Mini, and they were like, why did you cut everything out? And guess what he said?
I don't care.
Because
I work for Nintendo. I don't care about it. Then he got fired and exported to Japan like Bill Trenn.
Yeah, poor Bill Trenn. But I figure just because they thought that the features, or they thought that the market for the Wii post Wii U would only want certain features, and they felt like if they stripped them, they could lower the price.
Keep the price down. There you go. There's your answer. He says, there is a consumer out there, and there are gamers who've not bought a Wii yet, and there are gamers who have a Wii and want a second one for the cottage.
What?
What is this? So, who want a second one for the cottage or the chalet? Chalet?
The chalet.
What's a chalet?
It's like a snow cabin. Or like the, you know, so, the chalet with the skiing.
I guess it's Canada, but like... Really? This is what they're saying?
That's a good excuse, Ozzen. Don't
No,
hate.
I mean, come on. There are gamers out there who've not bought a Wii, and there are gamers who have a Wii and want a second one for the cottage or the chalet or whatever, who actually don't need the online functionality. So we stripped it in and gave you savings.
But
wow, that is the weirdest thing.
In the chalet.
No, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Like... Really, oh man, like, of all the things, you know what I mean? Like, who might want a second one for, like, another room or, like, for their family to use or something, but for the cottage?
Maybe a lot of people in Canada have cottages.
Well, I mean, it's snowy there, but, like, I've never heard of someone buying a game console for their cottage.
I mean, it's the Canadian market. I don't know. I have to ask our Canadian friend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, ask Mitch if he has.
He brought it up to me. He was like, did you hear about the Wii Mini? And I was like, yeah, and he just laughed. He thinks it's funny. Here's some details. It's one of those really long bullet point things, so I'll just read some random ones. About canceled Guitar Hero 7.
No.
You want to know what it was about?
Yes.
Only guitars. Ain't no drumming, ain't no singing, nothing else. Source describes the development as a disaster. It was like a mix of a six-string guitar with the Guitar Hero buttons on the neck with like a six buttons instead of five.
So they're trying to make like more like realistic to
But it wasn't like strings didn't go the whole way. It was just like strings here and then there were like still buttons down there and
actual strings?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had big ambitions and new art style and they have like every song had its own like music video that would play along to it instead of like having like generic stuff.
Yeah, footage of like the band that you pick.
And I like this quote. When the song started coming in, a great sense of dread came about everyone with an active brain. Must have been bad. And it's fine that it didn't come out because like you can just keep playing like Guitar Hero 3. Honestly, it ain't matter. If you guys had to guess, how much do you think it would cost to get your Wii U repaired?
Like right now?
Assuming that you're not under warranty and, like, you broke it.
$100.
$100 for the console. Not like the whole thing, just the console.
$70.
$50.
$175.
$175.
I'm guessing that is the wholesale price. Like, that is how much it costs to make the Wii U. So
thank you once again for the input.
That's probably your wholesale price. And how much do you think it costs to replace the gamepad if you break it?
$80.
$300.
yeah, the console's $175, gamepad $300.
No, I don't know.
$85. So you actually would have not won the Price is Right, like, extra money for getting it exact.
$300. Yeah, don't you get an extra $1,000 or something?
It depends when you get it. If you get it exactly right, you get like $500 or something in just the regular thing. In the Showcase Showdown,
yeah,
if you're within $200 of yours and you don't go over, you win your showcase and the other person's showcase.
Oh, that's special.
So, it is special. It's very special.
I saw one where they had to do a tiebreaker.
I would do so bad on that show.
They both got a dollar.
Wow.
On the spinny thing.
Oh, well, that's not the same.
But it was really cool.
A lot of people do that. That was a lot, though.
I don't know.
I feel like that's not that, I guess. Yeah,
it was cool.
Did they both get, like, the dollar?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
No, they both, like it was two
added to a dollar?
Yeah.
That's less cool, but still pretty cool.
I think it's more cool, actually.
I don't know. The dollar symbol looks cooler.
Yeah, it's really pretty. It is.
I want to spin that
wheel. Like the shade of green.
We could go there when we go to LA. Let's go on The Price is Right.
And we should go see Craigman Ferguson.
Craig Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely go do that again. That was fun.
Let's hope that it's not someone boring.
Kevin Bacon was cool.
I thought Kevin Bacon was very cool.
And Wanda Williams, or whatever her name was.
Wendy Williams.
Like the girl from Wendy's. Yeah.
The girl from the Wendy's commercials. Yeah, she's the mascot for Wendy's.
Yeah, she looks like her at least.
Someone had a birthday. Who had a birthday? Oh. You did not.
You're actually like as far away from your birthday as you could be.
Yeah.
6 months.
That's true.
That's not true.
No, yeah.
The day after my birthday.
You would be one day away from
like,
your birthday.
If you think about it. No, that's true. Like, if you think about like
the next birthday.
Like, yeah.
If you think inside the box. So, guess who had a birthday? He turned 53.
Iwata did.
Yep, that's actually right. He's 53 years old, so he's younger than Miyamoto, who is 60.
And he's 2 years older than Reggie.
Yep, 2 years older than Reg. And he's looking good. He's looking good. We saw him with his helmet, and we also saw Lego Iwata, and he looked good. You didn't see Lego Iwata. You missed that.
What?
You said you didn't want to watch the Nintendo Direct from the beginning.
It didn't
work. Oh, that's true. Well, you also said you didn't want to watch it, so.
Well, you said you were going to make me.
That was a joke. One of Jack's favorite and my, even though I haven't played it, favorite indie titles is headed to the eShop for $15.
And
what is it called?
Bit Trip Saga,
which is how many games?
Six.
For $15.
$15.
So if you like Bit Trip or you like cool indie games,
$2.50 per game.
You go buy it.
And I might buy it, but I just want to put that out there. Cause
I still haven't played the sixth in the Bit Trip series, in the Bit Trip Saga, I suppose, was right. But Runner and Beat are two of like.
I liked Beat. I've only played Beat and I loved it.
They're two of the best of any downloadable game.
Good,
should be played.
The music in Beat is awesome. The music in Beat looks awesome, or is on, looks awesome. Right. Yeah. Anyway. So those are cool.
You can see sound waves.
I do see sound waves. The Wii U prototypes were revealed actually today. The very first prototypes.
Yeah, with the two Wiis.
Shh. Secret. Well, there's two prototypes we saw. So you must have seen one of them. The first prototype of the Wii U, this is right after, again, in 2006, after they released the Wii, because that's when they start working on consoles. Or it must have been 2007, because here's the first one. You can look at it.
Laura has a very puzzled look. That's really
It's a Wii Zapper with, like, a very high-quality screen taped to the end. Because the thing they wanted to explore is, could they use the Zapper and have, like, a view there so you could, like, move around and shoot? And then after a little bit, they were like, all right, well, what if we... And this looks a little bit closer to them. It still looks really crap. Yeah, and so what is the second prototype, Laura?
Two Wii Emotes taped to the gamepad,
pretty
much. Yep,
literally taped. They said they used double-sided tape. So here's what that looks like.
Yep.
And they took two nunchucks and took them apart.
That's not
and
like
taped
the,
them there.
That's not the worst idea.
So then that was the second one. They took a screen and taped them there, and then eventually we got to. And when they made this one is when they started work on Nintendo Land actually. So it's had a very long development cycle, which is really cool. And I think that is one of the very few times Nintendo like has shown off their prototypes of things, because they really don't get into technical stuff very much, and they really have with this console. Because I think they're trying to, like, appeal to, like, more gamer-centric, like, tech people. So they're being like, here's how everything works. Even though we still don't really know how, like, it does as good as it does with what it does.
It's alien technology.
Reggie sent it. Yep. From Laura's home planet. It's, Reggie sent a swap note to everybody. And I didn't look at it, but that's that. In Europe, you can... You know how you can buy games off the eShop, like Zombie U, or you can just buy them? In Europe, you can only buy M-rated games after 11 p.m. and before 2 a.m. So that's, you have a three-hour window that you can purchase M games off the eShop. Which is a little weird. Nintendo said kind of that it's Germany's fault, because Germany's really strict about it. Yes. But mostly, that's, I think it's like Nintendo really being like... Two steps forward,
now,
one step back.
Now, if
that
you
kind of
buy
thing.
It at like 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And you've already bought it, but it takes a while to download.
It'll be fine. Yeah. No, yeah, it cuts it off. You got to pay for it again. You got to pay it twice.
No, I mean, but like, do you have to pause the downloading all day?
I doubt it. I would definitely doubt that.
You should,
because little kids don't stay up that late, so they can't buy that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, that works, though. That kids won't buy
I still think
them.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, can't you just have them put a credit card number in or something?
What about until, like, 4 a.m. then, or even...
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like... It's really one of those, like, Nintendo did something weird again, because they just do weird things.
If it's 2:01 a.m., you just have to drive to Liechtenstein or whatever.
Drive to Liechtenstein or Gothenburg or something like that.
That's Germany.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I know it's pronounced Gothenburg because I said Gothenburg on one of the old P2K podcasts, and Dan yelled at me for it.
By the way, I'm sorry to the one iTunes reviewer that I was.
Oh, yeah, we got one iTunes review so far, and the guy was like, "I liked your podcast, but someone was eating and it sucked," so he gave us 3 stars instead of 4.
Sorry.
So we're sorry. We hope you're enjoying it a little bit better. Nintendo's head of consumer marketing, James Honeywell, who was just hired, said, "We got a big old strong lineup for the UK and for everywhere. Monster Hunter... Oh, I forgot Monster Hunter's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I'm going to have to buy that, too. Nintendo always makes sure it launches games throughout the year, which isn't true, but that's okay. We don't really focus particularly on Christmas, which isn't true, but that's okay.
That's not true at all.
We've got a strong lineup all the way through the year. Also not true. We always have marketing support. That's true. We have plans to take... That's actually not true. Like, they've put out a lot of games without any marketing. Like, Kirby's Return to Dream Land, which is honestly my favorite Kirby game, like, hands down, no marketing. Not a single bit of... Like, do you know what it is?
Nope.
What is it? Guess what system it's for?
Do you know what it is?
Wii.
Nope. What is it?
It's a four-player Kirby game for the Wii, and it's awesome. And it's not Kirby's Epic Yarn. It's like a traditional Kirby game, and it's really great. And they just didn't...
Promoted.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not a lick of promotion. For us, it's not just about launch. That is true. It's not just about launch. It's about building momentum and maintaining that over a long period of time. And, I mean, hey, Wonderful 101, Pikmin 3, Game & Wario, Bayonetta 2, Wii Fit U. I mean, we do have a lot of games coming to the Wii U over the next couple
Wii
months.
Wii Fit.
And WarioWare/...
Game & Wario.
Game
I said
Wario.
That. Yeah.
Oh, you did. My
It's all right. And not to mention eShop titles that are coming, like Runner 2.
Oh, yes. Runner 2. That's the only one.
I don't know if any of that... I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention.
Runner 2 will, like, just for sure be really solid.
Even it looks really weird.
Yeah,
like that fish man.
They kind of had to change the pastiche, which is unfortunate. But.
Yeah. The Spike VGAs were on again, and they were really... I tried to watch them again, and it was just... It was another one of those, like, all, like, testosterone-y, like, guns.
Did Mankind perform again?
No.
Brought to you by GameFuel.
Yeah, it's like that kind of thing. Oh, it sucks. But here's a list of their winners. We're not going to read all of them, but let's say... What do you think got best Wii/Wii U game? Because they grouped them together. Here were your
Xenoblade Chronicles.
Here were your nominations. Where is it? Where are they? Where's best Wii U game? I can't find. There it is. Your nominations are New Super Mario Bros. U, The Last Story, Xenoblade Chronicles, and Zombie U. What do you think won?
Xenoblade.
What do you think
Mario.
Won? Mario won. It beat up Zombie U, Xenoblade Chronicles, and The Last Story.
It's a solid platformer still.
I honestly think it's underrated significantly.
Yeah,
Little Big Planet's a 92, and it's an 83. So, and, I think it's really quite underrated.
Honestly, it, like, if it were in a vacuum, I think it would just be seen as a new Mario game coming out, as opposed to a new Super Mario Bros. Game coming out.
I think I agree with you. I think if it was not New Super Mario Bros., and it was similar in style, but it came out for, like, you know, non-Nintendo system or Nintendo system, I think it would get way higher reviews.
Yes.
Not that the reviews, the words aren't harsh, but the numbers are harsh. So that's
because the numbers are actually coming back to reality. You know, like
that's a good thing you could say. But the problem is that then people go, "Oh, it sucks," because it's like going, it's lower. Another amazing thing to me is Black Ops 2, which I consider my favorite, probably my favorite Call of Duty game just overall. Maybe Call of Duty 4 is a little ahead of it, but
yeah,
I'm more interested in replaying the story of this because the characters are good than in Call of Duty 4, where the story was good but the characters are poop. So
I like Captain.
Captain Price. No, like, but he's not as, like, animated or pointed as the characters in this. Like, the characters in this are really, like, I know their names. And I like them. Like, when I'm not playing missions with them and they come back, I'm like, oh, it's that guy. So, I like this game a lot more, and it's an 83, which is odd because it's better than Modern Warfare 2, which is, like, a 93. It's better than Modern Warfare 3, which is, like, an 80. No, maybe Modern Warfare actually dropped into the 70s. I think 3 did.
I wasn't paying attention.
Better than Black Ops, which is like an 89 or something. It's better than World at War. World at War, I did really like.
World at War was like an 88, I think.
I liked World at War.
And it's as good. It's about as good as Call of Duty 4, which is like the 94-95 one. Yeah. So maybe they're dropping back down, but the problem is that now people will compare them to games when it was inflated. And
yep.
Anyway, so let's do one more category. Let's say best. No, let's do a couple more. Best graphics: Assassin's Creed 3, Dishonored, Halo 4, or Journey.
Halo 4.
Probably Assassin's Creed.
Halo 4 was the winner. Good job, Laura. That's 2 points for you, none for Jack. This next question worth 100 points. So the winner gets it. Wins the game. Bye. Game of the decade. This is a good one. Here's your nominees. Why game of the decade now?
Yeah, it's really not.
I just realized it's not 2010.
Year.
Yeah,
it's 2012.
Yeah, it just actually random. Doesn't make sense.
Oh well.
But
your nominees are The Legend of Zelda: Wind Waker, Half-Life 2.
Good nomination so far.
World of Warcraft, which is understandable.
Yes, no, these are really good nominations.
Shadow of the Colossus, great nomination.
I actually don't even know if I'd. I mean, it's a great game, but
I appreciate that they gave it a nod.
Certainly.
Wii Sports. I understand why, but I don't know.
That should
know.
Not be there, no.
Bioshock, I can understand.
I don't know.
I never played it, but every footage I've seen, it's, man. And have you seen Bioshock Infinite's footage?
Yeah, it looks cool.
It looks awesome. It's very colorful and, like, bright and beautiful.
Which you wouldn't think, but then...
Because they're in a sewer.
They're not, though. It's the city that Bioshock is in back when it was a real city.
Oh. So before,
it's
like...
Great. It's, like, up in the sky and, like, bright, beautiful...
They're just copying.
Anyway, so Wind Waker, Half-Life 2, World of Warcraft, Shadow of the Colossus, Wii Sports, Bioshock, Portal, Mass Effect 2, Red Dead Redemption, Batman Arkham City.
Portal.
What one game of the
Certainly
decade?
They left Portal. Out a lot of good games, but...
Yes.
I thought I heard something about Wind Waker somewhere.
They left out, like, Halo 2.
On the list?
Like, in the news.
They left out Halo 1. They left out the Conduit.
If they're talking about games
that
they could, Halo 1 would have been left out.
I'm
going to
say Portal.
Really?
Well, if they're going by 2001 or 2002 to 2012, you know, or...
Yeah, okay, fine. So you think Portal?
Portal or World or...
You can't pick one.
Okay, Portal.
They didn't pick Resident Evil 4.
No Resident Evil 4?
That's, like, actually, like, something they should have picked.
I don't know.
I'm going to say they picked Bioshock.
Okay, the winner was Half-Life 2. I can understand.
Very solid choice.
But I still was kind of miffed. I don't know. Something miffed. Something about this list, it seemed like... It feels like the 2000 decade was better for gaming than this list. You know what I mean? Not that these games aren't great, but I just feel like it's missing
like
games.
Like, Red Dead Redemption and, like, Arkham City don't seem like games that should be...
Yeah, people really liked them, but jeez. Yeah, I don't know. Every time I play them, they don't feel like classics at all. They feel like well-done games, and that's it.
Yeah, I guess I can understand
but,
that.
But... And World of Warcraft, I can understand. Shadow of the Colossus, I wouldn't have agreed with if it won, but I think it's my favorite game of all these.
Oh, well, unless you're
maybe Wind Waker.
Wind Waker, yeah.
Mass Effect 2, sure. Portal, sure.
Oh, actually, Portal or Wind Waker, yeah.
Yeah. I can understand Twilight Princess not being there.
I can't!
If Wind Waker is there, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, they should
they're not going to put it yet. No Mario games on there. I think that's fine, honestly, as it is.
What about Galaxy?
No, I wouldn't make that game of the...
Galaxy...
Great game. Galaxy, I don't know about game of the decade. Like, it's not iconic and a classic and...
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Kind of.
I don't know. I don't think so. It's kind of like...
I think it achieved that status, but yeah, it's not actually as classic as all the other ones, but I think it achieved, like, that same breadth of...
Maybe.
But yeah, no, you've heard my, you know...
I understand, but it doesn't feel... It's not Mario 64, you know? That's the thing, is none of these...
It feels too micromanaged and too...
Not a lot of these feel like Mario 64s, you know, like classics, you know what I mean?
Mario
Portal,
World.
I can understand that. That's going to be a classic in a little bit. Wind Waker, sure. Half-Life 2, sure. BioShock, maybe. Red Dead Redemption, Mass Effect, Arkham City, Wii Sports. Wii Sports would be classics. Iconic, but not like, you know.
Those just aren't classics.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not a bad list,
but you know, I feel like there's more that they're missing, and I can't think of them either right now, but I feel like there are. Resident Evil 4
probably
is one.
Probably honestly should have won it.
Yeah, you could say that, because it honestly spawned a new genre of shooters, like the third-person cover shooter is Resident Evil 4.
And then they took the series and
Call of Duty 4 actually could have definitely been on there.
No, you still haven't played through it. That actually should have possibly won Call of Duty 4. That really changed the landscape of gaming.
Like
Halo 2 also was
that,
huge.
You could argue that that changed the landscape of gaming as much as like Mario 64 did, just in terms of how many games are copying it now. Every first person shooter, Call of Duty 4 is responsible for it.
I mean, it took, like, Halo 3 was coming out, and it completely, like, overshadowed Halo 3.
Still have it?
Oh, yeah.
If you're enjoying Black Ops 2, play Call of Duty 4 sometime in the next couple months, and I think you'll really like it. It's more of, like, a really good, gripping story, and less of, like, fun characters and just really good, but... Man, it's awesome. All right, let's do one more category. Did I already say that?
Wasn't
we're going to do one
Gabe
more.
Gabe Newell featured in something? I forget.
Newell.
Didn't the lady interviewing them, she called him something really weird.
Gaben?
No, she like...
Because everyone calls him Gaben.
It was like Gary or something.
No, that was it. It was Gary with two R's, yeah.
Yeah.
Who interviewed him?
Some lady.
Was it on the VGAs?
That's what it was. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
That's what I was referring to, yeah.
Wait, Gabe came to the VGAs? I should have watched. He's really cool. You know what's cool about Valve? Any three people can make, print, and ship a game. They only, like, technically one person can, but they say a minimum of three people. You can work on any project you want. You can go from project to project. You can do whatever you want.
Oh.
It's kind of like, what was Thomas Edison's lab called?
Dexter's
Lab.
Menlo Park. Yeah, or just a bunch of scientists just got to that. Yeah, I know. He burned down Nikola Tesla's lab. No, he did. He burned down his lab.
I know, but every time people say that, I'm like, oh, come on, give him a guy a break.
How much technological advance.
Give someone a break for burning someone.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. But it's one of those things that, like, there's always something that people bring up with, like, really famous people, like, yeah, well, he's a jerk. You know what I mean? It's like,
no,
just shut up.
Thomas
he's a cool
Edison
guy.
Actually was a jerk.
No, but...
He burned Nick.
Really? No, like, I know he might have been kind of a jerk, but it's kind of like when, no one ever speaks of him in a good light. Like,
Neo-Nazis?
No, I don't think they even speak of him in a good light anymore. I think that's become too taboo. When people bring up, like, oh, it's like when people like talking about Gandhi, and then there's always someone who says, yeah, but he let his wife die. And it's just like, dude, just shut up. He was like, leave it alone.
Yeah, but Austin, he let his wife die.
you know what I mean? There's always like, there are those people who always bring it up in that way.
Kind of a contrarian manner.
Yeah, just like, oh.
Poor Nikola Tesla. Nicholas Cage Tesla.
Okay. Guess what's cool? If you go into the Wii mode on Wii U, the homebrew channel works now. I don't know how to hack it, but if you want to put the homebrew channel back on your Wii U mode, please do not pirate games. Please do not do that.
If there would be no reason to use the homebrew channel if there were a strobe light.
I'm still not going to, simply because I have to boot up Wii mode to do it. So I guess that's really intelligent of Nintendo to block it. And I, following your advice, I published my opinion of why Nintendo did rounded discs plus a Wii channel. And the more I think about it, the more I think that might be the reason, honestly. So,
I think you're right.
I guess how many Wii U's were sold in Japan? And this is actually pretty cool.
90,000. I don't know.
Well, if you figure the U.S. we thought had the most stock, U.K. had less, and Japan probably has more than U.K. 400,000 here. They actually, as it turned out, the Nintendo's official numbers say that the Wii sold 425,000 in its first week, and the Wii U sold like 412,000. So it's actually really close to the Wii's.
I'm gonna say a surprising number for Japan.
Well, that's not a number. That's cheating.
Like 200,000.
Yeah, I was gonna say like 300,000.
You would actually be very close. 307,000 units, which is incredible.
Wow. Yeah, for Japan.
For a Japanese launch. So they, A, got more stock than they thought, and B, I mean, I'm sure they expected the sales to be good, but you're talking about Japan, who's much smaller than America as a market, selling, you know, three-quarters of as many as was sold here. So I think that's a good, it bodes well for the console. Two more stories. Your Club Nintendo reward, you've missed all of them so far.
Yeah.
But here's a new one that I think you really like. 150 coins will get you 1080 snowboarding on the N64.
I'm doing that.
I love that game. I think I might do it.
I'm doing it, yeah.
Don't forget it, because you keep doing it. And they keep giving you great games that you can download, like Punch-Out, Majora's Mask was there,
and there's
like two or three other ones, and now 1080 snowboarding.
I'm getting 1080.
Gotta pick that one up.
I miss SS Tricky.
That's a good one too, or SSX Blur.
Yeah, but like 1080 snowboarding just has like that N64 atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. It's good. And the last story of the day. This isn't a podcast story.
It
just says
going to bedtime story.
Once upon a time. I accidentally marked the Retro City Rampage story as a podcast story, so.
So that was it?
That was it. There's all your stuff. Good job, everybody. What's next? Oh, the discussion. All right, so here's the deal. We finished our news, and the discussion this week has to do with a topic I've become slowly more... Because, you know, every once in a while, I sort of realize something about... You know, like... You always have like
you
a collection of games. It's gonna be a long sentence. There's always like a collection of games that you don't like, but you're not quite sure exactly why you don't like them, and you're not quite sure how to define like why all these things are. You feel the same way about all these things, but you don't know why.
Yeah.
And I came to a realization this week that autopilot gaming, which is gonna be a buzzword for the podcast and forever, it's gonna get famous.
Forevermore.
Autopilot gaming explains a lot of why I dislike so many of the games that I like. Because you know how I'm always hating on, like, Left 4 Dead?
Mm-hmm.
That's a complete autopilot gaming game for me. And what autopilot gaming is gaming where you're not really... Like, you're paying enough attention to get the job done, but you're not engaged to it. You're not really paying attention. You're not watching and looking for details. You're not exploring. You're just getting through it on this, sort of this weird autopilot mode. And I'm sure some of you understand what I'm saying, and some of you might be like, well, how are you not engaged in a game when you're playing it? But maybe through this discussion, you will be enlightened. So, games that I dislike that people are amazed that I dislike. Left 4 Dead, I feel autopilot gaming on. New Super Mario Brothers, even. If I wasn't forcing...
Yeah.
Two, but even DS, even Wii, if I'm not forcing myself like I am with this one to look for the coins, you're autopilot gaming. I just go through it, you know what I mean? And I'm sure that's how you felt with you, because that's what you had to do, because you were reviewing it. Skyrim, I feel like it's autopilot. I'm just following the checkpoints. Call of Duty, most of the time, I feel like autopilot gaming. This one, not as much, but even 4, which I'm madly in love with as a first-person shooter, maybe not madly in love, but I like it. Is you know, you're just going to the checkpoint and going through the motions, and then you pay attention to the in-between parts. And I think, you know, I don't know what, and eventually in a couple weeks I'll have another realization about what makes a game an autopilot game, but I'm curious if you guys find the same games autopilot games that I find autopilot games. Like, Laura, when you play Left 4 Dead, you like it a lot. Do you find that you're autopiloting your way through it, and you're just kind of glossing
now
over
I am,
everything?
Yeah, but the first time I played, I wasn't.
You were, like, engaged and into it, so... Maybe autopilot gaming is subjective.
It's one of those games. I know what you mean. Autopiloting after a while, though. Like.
Minecraft, right now, has become an autopilot game.
Yeah.
It feels more like work almost than play.
Yeah, and like that's how I get with The Sims.
Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of doing it because, like, well, it's something
but
to do.
But then you could argue that any game can become.
That's the interesting thing is it just subjective? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the thing is, another thing, which because, I think we're going to leave
yeah, discussion you can,
to.
You
is,
can take it no, wherever you need to.
Because no, no, if you think about it, then you could say, sorry, I'm so sorry.
No, it's a, discussions are just interruptions.
If
it's
you think
time
about it, then, you know, you could go autopilot with Zelda, you know?
You could.
So temples,
well,
bosses.
That, that's the interesting thing is, are there games that you can't go autopilot with? Because if there are, I think Zelda's one of them. I think it'd be really hard for, especially someone who hasn't played Zelda before, to go on autopilot with a Zelda game. You know what I mean? Because you have to pay attention to get through that game. Mario games, especially the late, most
That's
more
not
recent
true,
ones.
Though. When I was little, I didn't really understand Zelda games.
But was that because you were little and stupid, or because it was an autopilot game? Well, okay, I'm sorry. Little kids are stupid. My sister was like,
talking
"Did
about
you?" Prince. Me too. I was too because
they can't even read.
I like. I was reading about how like. Little kids, for some reason, if you like scold them as a person, they won't take it to heart. But if you scold them with a puppet, they will. And I'm like, man, they're idiots. If that were,
no,
you know
that's
what I mean?
True though, because we're working with this kid who's a little, you know.
What's
delayed.
His name? What's his address?
And like when you tell him, you know, like if you want to watch TV, you got to take your diaper off first. But he won't.
Yes, watch naked TV. What are you teaching these kids? What kind of school?
No,
is
but
this?
He has to change his diaper before.
Oh, change his diaper. Okay.
Sorry, like, but he needs to take off his own diaper and throw it in the pail. In the pail. The diaper bucket.
But if
thing.
You tell him to do it with a puppet, he does it.
No, but if you tell him to do it with cards, with a picture, like huh. You go. Like TV,
yeah.
And then he'll go like, yeah.
Then he'll take off.
Then
his diaper.
Like, then you'll no. Then,
you're training him for great.
No,
great things.
And then you show him a picture of like then diaper TV and then diaper.
Yeah, it's
and then
funny
he's like,
how
yes,
the psychology
to
of
do
of
it,
kids.
You know?
Anyway, that's why kids are idiots. So it wasn't yeah. Just you. It's kids are
no,
stupid.
I know, Austin. I was kidding.
Anyway,
but no, I think.
Zelda can be an autopilot
yes,
game?
Yes, even if you're first playing it, because when you're first playing it, you have to pay attention. Yes, but like after a while, like. Through the game, you almost have to be autopilot because, like, you're going through the temple. You have to, you know, you pay attention, but you have to.
You're going. Yeah.
You're going. I don't know how to explain.
I
like,
know,
you get in this habit of having to figure
yeah,
out puzzles.
It, you like are going through the motions now.
Yeah, it, like figure out puzzles in the temples. Okay, boss. You
yeah.
Know, moving on to the next one because you got to find a third.
Okay,
thing, you know?
Maybe you can. I just find it. Because of the, it's not like, I think it's difficult to get into necessarily a rhythm with Zelda, not a rhythm, but like, the puzzle types in from temple to temple in the good Zelda games are really different. It's
well,
not
yeah,
like every temple has shoot the eyeball and step on the stones, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, but
step
you're
on
still
the
like,
you're still looking for puzzles, but you
do
have
you
to
play a game of step on the stones.
Oh, sorry.
Stick
the bone. Kick the can.
Sorry.
I find it hard to believe that someone could do autopilot with Zelda. I would believe it, but I would find it hard to believe. It would take a lot of effort on my part to I would force them to play it next to me, and I would have to watch their eyes sort of gloss over and them go through it. So, because it's sort of like with Mario Bros. U, is I'm forcing myself,
exactly.
If
that,
you will.
That was what I was going to say. So.
Yeah, did you want to say something about it?
No, that was...
Okay, so... With Mario Bros. U, I'm playing through, sort of forcing myself, but I'm not finding it, like, annoying. I'm enjoying it.
And, like, you can do that with any game, possibly.
That's the question, is can you un-autopilot yourself on any game and force it to be fun? Because you can un-autopilot yourself and pay attention on any game, but it's different when I un-autopilot myself on, like, I did it with the Wii version of New Super Mario Bros.
Mario.
And, I still found it really unengaging. I didn't enjoy myself when I was playing New Super Mario Bros. Wii off of autopilot when I was forcing myself to find all the coins. So the question is, can any game be fun if you want it to be fun? And I don't know if it can.
I think that when you're autopiloting, you're tricking yourself into thinking you're having fun because you're playing a video
game. That's the thing. It's just kind of like...
You know, like, oh, I'm playing a video game.
It's something
to do. I must be having
fun. Exactly. And you know what that relates to me? Is achievements. Because you're tricking yourself into thinking you're, like, having fun and, like, accomplishing things, but you're not really.
But then sometimes I come out of, like, that trance and I'm like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, man, this is... And that's exactly...
That's what I was doing. I know it's really stupid, but this is the only thing I can think of right now. Style savvy. Like,
no,
I'm, like,
that's not
I'm playing it, and I'm forcing myself to play it right now, just because it's like,
you're like, well, I need to kill some time.
But then I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm buying fake clothes.
Yeah, but and that could be fun, and I'm sure it was fun for a time,
but
it's not engaging.
Now I'm not. I don't know. It's just like.
That's the question.
Yeah, when you come out and you realize, like, I'm not actually doing anything.
This is, yeah, you realize you're not fun.
It can become not fun. And that's why I get bored of The Sims sometimes. Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about a lot of, like, smartphone games, is I kind of play them because, A, I need to kill time, and B, it's, like, easy, it's, like, convenient.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, putting in time to sit down at a console and turn on the tube and turn on the boob tube and, like, play a game.
Yeah.
Even though it's more fun, I'm just like, I like watch TV because it's convenient. And you just go on. It feels like watching crappy TV that you don't care about. You're just kind of like, I'm having fun, right?
Like,
I'm definitely, I'm entertained. Like, you're telling yourself, forcing yourself to feel entertained, even when you're not.
And I think that happens a lot now with much technology.
That's
you're overwhelmed.
Thing. And that's,
just, like,
you saw the Brain Age in Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
There's just so much stuff. It's like checking Facebook, checking Reddit, all the things you check. You're just on autopilot, and you're like, well, this must be fun. Like, you're not having fun, but you're like, well, I guess I must be having fun because I'm doing something that's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And it's not. And I think that's a big problem with, like, smartphone games especially, but just a lot of games now, especially really linear ones, like first-person shooters. New Super Mario Bros. Suffers from it. Mario games in general can, but I think Mario games you can also break out of and have fun with, but that's just a cyclical thing.
With 3D ones, I can see where you're not getting an autopilot, because the reason I say Zelda I get autopilot is because I know every temple is different, you know, with different puzzles, but for some reason, you know, your goal, you must, you know, temple to temple to temple, and then a boss is based on the thing, that the item you get in that temple, and then so you know, but with Mario, you Each level is different, but, like, it's so different that, like, it can be fun. I'm not saying that I don't.
Well, yeah, it's
I'm not explaining
it doesn't
well
like, no like gimmick or level design type overstays its welcome. It's like you have enough of a different thing to re-engage yourself,
like,
every time.
I'm not saying Zelda's not fun and amazing, but, like, it's a temple. Mm-hmm. But with Mario, it's like it is like a level, but, like, each level is like
has something new,
way
it's like a new little flavor,
you know?
It's got a new spice to it.
Right.
So that's what makes, and I think that's what Mario Bros. U does really well, is that every level has, like, its own, like, little gimmick. Like, not, like, a, yeah, like a catch or, like, a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only found in that level.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't levels, like, kind of was the case in, like, other New Super Mario Bros. Games, or just other Mario Bros. Games, where the gimmicks were kind of, like, repeated in multiple stages. This one was, like, in one level, the gimmick is that you're running across, like, you know how in New Super Mario Bros. They have, like, those jets of sand that you jump on top of and then they disappear? They have one level that's entirely those, but water. And so that's, like, the gimmick, and they never use that again. And they'll have one that's based on the old whatever. And I think that's really good for the type of game that it is. And it helps you not get on autopilot mode, whereas, like,
I think it's different for me, though.
But what?
I'm not a big platform fan.
Yeah, no, that's
so
true.
So it's kind of like autopilot
for me. It's like, I'm doing it
because
you do that. That's how I feel sometimes when we do, like, multiplayer.
It's fun playing with you guys.
That's not fun because the game's fun. That's fun because we're fun, though.
Yeah.
You know what
true,
I mean? That's
true,
the difference.
True.
So,
see, that's why I didn't really have any interest in buying it, just because I wouldn't play it by
you
myself.
You're not a big fan
of platformers. If I would, it'd be autopilot. It really would.
You wouldn't even really enjoy it, so I think that with New Super Mario Brothers, I was going to say something and I've now forgotten. Oh, I was going to ask, what makes a game an autopilot game, though? Because I think it's when locations are too similar.
Yep.
I think that's a very big part of it.
It's very just similar, and it's
when you can't see anything, like Left 4 Dead or GoldenEye.
When you can tell something is based off of an archetypal game that has come out in the past, 5 years.
Examples of that.
Call of Duty 4. Halo when it came out, Mario 64.
No, I mean, like, what games, like, do you play that put you on autopilot because you're like, oh, this is just like that?
Halo ODST, Halo Reach.
But is that
that's different
autopilot,
like,
because
a series.
Also
a series.
Because the gameplay is the same in every level and the levels all look the same?
Yeah.
I think that might be a bigger factor.
Also, story also just being very generic, cookie cutter.
That's
like,
true. Well, New Super Mario Bros. Or Mario Bros.
I'm talking about, like, I was basically just talking about Halo.
Mostly,
But that's true for any, like, modern adventure shooter game. That
I feel that way about Skyrim, and it's beautiful, but I complain about the dungeons in Skyrim because everyone looks the same. It's kind of like you don't actually, like, know where you are, but you know where you're supposed to go because you can just kind of, like, feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't actually have any connection or, like, understand where you are in relation to anything else. You're just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it all looks the same, and the gameplay's all the same, and that's an interesting topic of thought. Like, why games become easy autopilot games. And you know what I'm curious? I'm curious if when people really like those games, are they engaged or are they just convincing themselves, or maybe they do, enjoy the autopilotness of it? You know? Like, are they enjoying winning the game or playing the game? Because if some people just enjoy winning the game, then autopilot's fine.
Well, beating, yeah, but...
Right?
Beating
and that's the same thing, like, as achievements, best, like I said. Like,
yeah.
Same thing as achievements. You autopilot your way to get achievements, and
They're not... I feel like they're not... getting attuned with the game itself, just themes and styles of the game.
Because they really are just a lot of cookie-cutter games now.
Yeah. No, there have always been, like, E.T. for the Atari. You
know? That wasn't cookie-cutter. That's, like, exceptional. Like, not good, but, like, it's exceptional.
No, I'm talking about the game for the Atari 2600.
I know. It's exceptionally, like, really terrible, but it's not a cookie-cutter game. Come on.
It's just like that when I think of, like, Xbox and I think of those, like, boys, you know, online...
Nice
multiplayer.
Boys. Good boys.
Yeah. That's the thing. And you know how you said, like, I'm a voice chat. This is kind of an anecdote, but, like, I'm a voice chat on the Wii. I turned it off so fast. I kept it on, and, like, almost every match has someone with it. 15 minutes of that, I was like, I'm not used to this. I can't.
I can't.
Because the thing is, all it does is you get that crumbly sound over the game, and it's like, I can't hear, and it sucks.
And you're annoying.
Anyway, but that's the thing that I love about, like, when I think about the Wii. Because when you think about, like, the Wii...
It doesn't seem very cookie-cuttery.
Yes, but that might be because I don't know as much, or I never, like... Well, I owned for a little bit, but I never really owned a 360 or PS3 for a long period of time, more than, like, a year. So I'm just like, well, all the games on it kind of, like, remind me of, like, the same thing.
Well,
you know, they're either realistic shooters,
same.
Realistic racing games, or realistic sports games, or, like, the main...
Yeah.
Three genres,
but that's because the game is being designed for somebody as opposed to being, like, designed by somebody. You know what I mean?
That's a really good way of putting it. Actually,
yeah, it's not an artist, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's just it's just two different. Like,
and you can have a little bit of both. Like, it definitely can be making it for something, but for someone, but also loving thy game, but. There you go. That's interesting.
And there are exceptions. Don't worry.
Yeah, certainly.
You know?
Like, the games that are designed for somebody. Yeah, like Call of Duty.
Call of Duty?
The new
Black
one.
Ops 2. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's a game that developers clearly loved and loved making, but also it was made for that crowd. And it worked great.
I would say Flower is more of a game designed by.
Yeah. You know? I think Flower was definitely designed by someone as a piece of art.
I actually think that's, like.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were asking.
No. Do you think it's overrated?
I think Flower is, like, really.
Oh, man.
Overrated.
I love it.
I think it's
it.
Really pretty.
I made Nico cry.
Yeah, like that's
he
cool.
Really.
What?
Do you play it in the dark?
I did not play it in the dark. No.
Come on.
That's what you gotta
it's
do.
An experience. It's like an experience game.
I put it on an HDTV widescreen.
Gotta play it in the dark and gotta buy into it, because, you know, like, you can play Resident Evil 1 and think it's crap if you don't choose to buy into it. You know what I mean? So come on, man. How are you playing it?
Seth.
Okay. Play Journey. See if you like Journey. I know you hate Journey, but see if you like Journey, the game.
I actually heard a Journey song that I didn't, like, hate. I forget which one it was, but I don't know.
Okay. We're going to cut the discussion off there, because that's
actually,
nice...
Actually, the podcast is already, like, an hour and 15, I think.
It's not even an hour.
Oh, okay.
It's 59, but it's almost an hour. So we'll cut it off there, and we're going to go on to Complaint Corner if anyone has any complaints. I have one complaint.
I don't have any.
No. Yeah, mine's not that I don't, like, last week or whatever, it was like, I just don't have any plans. It's just like, NA, you know,
This week, I'm complaining about how bad the music in Nintendo's Wii U commercials is. It's the same music, same complaint. I just heard it again, and I hate it. So that's my complaint for the week. If you have complaints, keep them to yourself. or send them in, and we'll read them and sympathize, blah, blah, blah.
Is it question?
The questions were supposed to come before Complaint Corner, and I wasn't paying attention. All right, hold on, let me pull up the questions.
You messed it up!
And ruined the... See, people only watch the show because we do it in that order. And now we've ruined it.
They watch the show, yes. They watch the podcast.
They put a blank screen on and stare at it while we're...
Aaron Goodwin's picture.
All right, so there are... Okay, here's the first one.
No, I can too.
I know, I'm just pulling up. That's the first one. Who's it from? It's our good friend.
Chris
Plummer Armor.
Probably our most loyal fan.
Yeah, I like you, Chris.
Shout out to Chris.
Okay. What is one game you want to be announced at E3 2013, and what's one game
if it's two questions, just read the first one, then we'll answer it, and then do the second one.
Okay.
So, E3 2013, I would like...
Well, honestly, like a Pokemon Snap. But
oh, man, that'd be great.
That'd be
I want, you know, this isn't specific, but I want them to announce a game that isn't 3D Zelda, 3D Mario, you know, like
something
one of the big games. I want them to announce something
awesome
that isn't, like, just, oh, like when they announced Luigi's Mansion for 3DS, like, whoa, okay. I want something like that. So I don't know what that would be.
That
Pokemon
would be
Snap
really
would be a
cool.
potential, like, something like that. Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Or, like,
like,
sequel to Ninja Bread Man.
Yeah.
Something like that would be great for the Wii U.
But, yeah, like that's not something I would, like truly, 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 truly look forward to, you know?
Even I would love to see a 3D Zelda, of course.
Yeah,
or a 3D Mario,
just like,
or just anything like that. But that's all just kind of, okay,
yeah.
You're
well,
Nintendo
just, like,
fan,
obvious,
so that's, yeah, that's what
you
look for. I actually like to see Mario Kart. I could do with a Mario Kart at some point.
Really cool, yeah.
Smash Bros., of course. Mm-hmm. I hope to see footage of...
I don't know,
like, third-party games?
Just something designed by, like, Kojima or Atlas, maybe, for...
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a cool Atlas game. That'd be fun. Or a Suda 51
game.
Like
Persona 5 coming up for Wii U.
Oh.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Even though I think, like, they've already announced it'll be a PS3 exclusive.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a Suda... that No More Heroes sequel Suda 51's been teasing. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, just something by, like, a really good, like, dedicated
really cool
developer.
Yeah. I would... Yeah, that's probably good. All right, what's the second half of the question?
And what's one game you actually think will be shown off at
E3? Super Smash Bros.
Smash Bros. Will be shown off.
It's how to do it.
No, but like it's down more. It's like it's a wee different.
And that's not actually based on any concrete evidence necessarily.
No, they will. They can't.
It's
not.
Just yet.
Or here's the thing: is that Nintendo isn't really giving E3 as much of a spotlight anymore. They're doing all these Nintendo Directs, mm-hmm. which, as we've learned, are really awesome. Because not only then we get more little bursts of news. They can get it directly to us. There's no, like, hearsay. It's just like, there you go. There's
but
all
I'm
your
I'm
so
really excited for E3.
Yeah, no, E3's going to be a lot of fun, mostly because we can play the games. Because the internet lists, like, crowded. The press conferences are silly.
We should get it over with the first day. Getting
it
really early and getting to the Nintendo booth.
Yeah.
Well, someone, probably me, maybe more than just me, will be going to the... press conference. So we'll go right from there. It might. I mean, I don't know how many passes we get. So mm-hmm. we'll see. Anyway, next question comes from just first name, since it's not Chris Plamalama.
Bri. Is Nintendo saving its next round of big game announcements till E3?
We think not. Right?
We think not. I think their
hopefully
next one's going to be early next year, and it's going to be for a Wii U game in the first quarter, or in the launch window, because they've been talking about
Nintendo
how they have
Direct.
Something unannounced. Maybe Yoshi's Land? But I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Or something. But
or,
I don't. Or?
Are we going to hear about things like the rumored Yoshi's Land Wii U and Nintendo Direct?
Nintendo Direct. I think we'll hear more in Nintendo
yeah,
Direct.
It's going to be like
I'm
that.
Sure they'll save, like... Basically, think of E3 as just another Nintendo Direct. Like, that's the amount of news you're going to get at their press conference is the same as you're going to get at a Nintendo Direct. Plus, they're going to add on fluff for the casual
I feel
gamers.
Like they should actually make it a centerpiece Nintendo Direct, because more press is going to be dedicated to that than, you know, any Nintendo Direct.
That's true.
That's true.
So.
That's
very true. The thing is, then all the people are like, who won E3? Nintendo lost, because they don't pay attention to the Nintendo Directs. And that doesn't matter, but it's still a little bit frustrating. All right, last question.
Okay, James.
James
hey, it's me,
Vandendolder.
Your brother's twin.
Hey, it's my brother's twin, James. That guy.
What is your favorite
James
new
Tooper.
Super Mario Bros. Game?
Hands down,
yeah.
New Super Mario Bros. U. I think that's far and away the best.
Two is easily the worst, and then I feel.
Let's rank them. Number one.
Basically, just pick between DS and Wii. And DS actually had a lot of cool things, like especially the minigame collection.
I still think it goes U, Wii, DS, 2.
I think it actually is
Wii
U.
Yeah, I agree with that.
U and then DS slightly above Wii.
Okay.
Wii and then far, far, far down below.
How far above DS do you think U is?
A solid margin. Not super, super solid, but just.
Yeah,
solid
it's not like
margin.
N64 or Mario 64 to like, you know, Sony, to New Super Mario Bros. Wii, but it's like, you know, it's definitely noticeably better.
That's just, you know, more refinement.
Ooh, we got someone just posted on our wall regularly. Ashley said, I finally got my Wii U. Which game should I buy for it?
Well, it depends on what you like.
Depends on what you like. Do you like shooters? Get Call of Duty Black Ops. Do you like survival horror? Get Zombie U. You like platformers? Get New Super Mario Bros. U. Do you like fun casual games? Get Nintendo Land. Do you like sports games? Get Madden.
Or unless FIFA. Unless you got the
Funniest Man on the cover.
Do you like the best kind of games? Get Funky Barn. I mean, there's lots of different kinds of
actually,
games.
Actually, yeah, no.
Nintendo Land.
Funky Barn, I think, is our endorsement.
I think Funky Barn is our endorsement, right? Funky Barn.
I'm fine with that.
Funky Barn.
Well,
Funky Barn.
So our mascots are Zach Baggins and Aaron Goodwin, and the official game of the Nintendo Everything podcast is Funky Barn for the Wii U. So I'll get in contact with them and tell them we endorse them.
All funked up.
All funked up. Okay, time for our list. We're skipping this week in news because I decided I looked over the list and it was poop. So, I mean, it's not terrible, but eh. It was just like, oh, top Time Magazine's top games from 2007.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, it's moderately interesting. It was like number one, I think it was Halo 3. So, you know, it's not that great.
Halo 3 is solid, though. I don't know.
Yeah, and also this week, I guess, it's worth noting that we hired two writers, one named Jakui and one named Dakota. Dakota never wrote a thing. It was like, why? You think Jakui's name is funny? J-A-K-U-I? He can't even talk. He's just laughing. And Jakui posted a lot of news. And Dakota didn't post anything. And Guitar Hero 4 and Call of Duty 5 were announced. Call of Duty 5 ended up being
World at War.
And they also were like, we're looking into making a microphone for the Wii, which ended up being Wii Speak. Okay, this week's list is our top 10.
So basically, we did do news.
Yeah, I know. It's the top 10 5 best games from Nintendo Land. Coming in at number 5,
Zelda Battle Quest.
This was kind of like a.
It's pretty looking.
Yeah, it looks
and
great.
It's Zelda,
this was like the four I think that we thought were four best kind of were like a step above.
Yeah,
like, so this
Zelda
was kind of like
is in like mid tier.
The winner of the honorable mentions.
Yeah,
it looks like possibly the best.
If it's honorable mention, we're making it Plinko. The Plinko game that you can use your coins to win prizes.
It's
awesome.
Not even like a real. It's, yeah, I like.
So Zelda Battle Quest is good.
It's not deep, but it's just like, it's really good looking.
It's fine. And, yeah. All right, number 4.
Metroid Blast.
Which
I thought would have been number one, but there are a lot of, you know, good ones.
Yeah, Metroid Blast is... I enjoyed... I honestly... The controls really bugged me, especially on foot. Like, they basically made it like N64 one-axis controls instead of dual... Or I'm sorry, like single analog stick controls instead of that. Unless you hold down a button. Like, if you hold down the A button, you can turn with the pointer, which is weird of them, but there you go. Number 3... was Mario Chase, which is a great game to play with friends. It's like very similar to Pac-Man Versus, which Miyamoto worked on back on the GameCube days, only you don't need to hook up a Game Boy Advance to play it. So I think this is probably the best local multiplayer one.
Yeah. And there are a lot of, like, honestly, the Animal Crossing one's good too and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, you could honestly substitute Luigi's Ghost Mansion or Animal Crossing with that. Like, they're all kind of the same game,
chasing
but like
things.
Different kind of, It's like.
Okay.
Number 2
is DK.
Manland.
DK's Manland.
Spring-a-ling.
DK's Manland. That is a game that needs to come out.
You're going to put that, like, if you type the list here.
DK's Manland.
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Donkey Kong's Crash Course.
Oh, yeah.
Is number 2, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's definitely the least, like one that you would think would be awesome.
But it is.
It just looks so nice. Intricate and just.
It's so intricate and it requires so much precision to get it right and it's really deep and there's multiple levels.
It's not deep.
No, it's pretty deep. Like, it takes a long time to. No, like, okay, like, not deep like Donkey Kong's Manland would be, but. But deep in the sense that it requires a lot of work to get good at it.
And
number 1, Jack was number 1. Yoshi's Fruit Cart is number 1, and this was I requested that this be put as number 1.
And I like it. I agree.
Because
it's fun.
Because because it's fun. That's all it is.
And, like,
it's
you
a good time.
And
you know what's funny? It's actually a concept that's never been done before. Can you think of any other? And you can't do it without two screens. But can you think of any game where that's been done before, or could be done on any system?
I feel like I have.
Enlighten us. Me.
Well, I feel like I've done that, like, having to estimate something.
Was it at E3 when we did the estimation thing on the Wii U?
That is one of them. But I feel like I've had to do, like, something where I had to, like. DS Zelda.
When did you have to do that in the DSLR?
I feel like I did.
Some feelings are nice.
No, but I'm pretty sure you did. With the boomerang.
No, but the thing is that Link was on the bottom screen, so when you drew a line, you could see where it was going to go. The difference with this is you can't see...
I know, but I feel like...
It can't be done anywhere on either system. Can't be done. It's never been done before.
Okay,
it's weird. It's
Matt
weird.
Locke.
What?
I don't know. Isn't he a detective?
Who's Matt Locke?
I don't know.
I've never heard that name
Matt
in my
Locke.
Life. Matt Locke.
It's not Matt Locke. It's Matt Locke.
Matt Locke.
Matt Locke.
Matt Locke.
M-A-T-L-O-C-K-E.
Okay, whatever you say. All right, that's our list for this week. And Jack, he just honestly left, so he doesn't get to hear the ending of the podcast.
Oh, well.
And it's beautiful. All right, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
If you've got questions, send them to NintendoEverythingPodcast@gmail.com or comment on the story or post on our Facebook page or tweet someone. Or actually, don't tweet our Twitter because Valley doesn't watch that because I don't think he knows how. So... You can tweet at me, and if you need my... In fact, just comment, or you can figure out a way to get in touch with us. All right, bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye, we love you.
We love you. Bye-bye.